Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
You know, I so wish that we would live in a world where we judge people based on their merit. I mean, it's not just a selfish perspective. I am kind of overweight now and bald and ugly. And so, there's a selfish component to that. But I really think that it's just, you know, as somebody who's a total meritocrat at my core, at least I believe, I think I am, I really think it's terrible that we live in a world in which who we hire, who we date, who we do business with is often based on how good-looking you are, how good a schmoozer you are. And alas, yeah, the fatter you are, on average, the less well you're going to be viewed. Especially, this is an unprecedentedly terrible job market. 12% of Californians are unemployed, and at least that many more are underemployed, either working part-time when they would work full-time or working on a job they don't like and wish for a job that they wish that they could like, and one that was that utilized their degrees. It strikes me that while I've spent 10 zillion shows talking about how to land a job, it's you know, the substance of the matter, how to improve your skill set, that it would be appropriate that I devote at least one segment of one show to looking better, to losing weight, to being thinner, because we shallow people that we are. We tend to judge people based on that crap. Well, in preparation for this show, I've had my wife, who is here with me right now, and I'll introduce her in a minute. She's read two of the most well-reviewed and recent diet books, and that are healthy, not some weird fad diet. Like, remember the old Stillman diet? We all drank was water and something, I don't know. But well-reviewed, not extremist diets. I'm going to hopefully add to this, because I have had a lifetime problem with dealing with my weight, keeping it under control. If I let myself eat what I wanted, I would be a blimp. I would be an absolute blimp. I'm 20 pounds overweight, but I would be 100 if I hadn't been fairly obsessive about dealing with things. I've also, you know, because I've had a weight problem my whole life, I've read a lot and I've talked with a million people about weight, and helped quite a few of my career clients, career counseling clients, life coaching clients, to lose weight successfully. And so now, let me introduce Barbara. I always like to do it the same way, because I'm so proud of her. She is not only the Napa County Superintendent of Schools, not only was she the winner of the Regional Superintendent of the Year Award over 100 other superintendents, not only was she selected by the State Superintendent of Schools, the current one, to swear her into office, and not only is she a member of his, quote, kitchen cabinet, which is the inside cabinet that he's got, she's beautiful and doesn't have a weight problem. My wife, Dr. Barbara Nemko, welcome to thanks for joining me.
Wow, I'd like to meet this paragon of virtue.
Right, well, yeah, you were virtuous is one thing you are. I would like to describe what I have done in my life to control my weight. And then I'm going to ask you what, if anything, is either contradicted in what I do or enhanced or whatever, you know, in the two books you've read. So, for me, what works is absolute ritual and discipline. The way I have discipline is by taking choice out of the matter. Yes, I cheat when I go out to eat, but every morning I eat exactly the same thing. I have oatmeal with a teaspoon of brown sugar, a teaspoon of walnuts, and water, you know, not with milk, made with water. And I have like about 3 ounces of non-fat milk to kind of wash it down. Every day, it's filling, it's healthy, and it's low calorie. And by taking the choice out of it, I mean, you don't think I don't like a cheese omelet with sausage? Absolutely. I don't have any of that crap in the house. I don't allow any of it. If you look at my refrigerator, it looks like I am, you know, a bomb victim. There's nothing in there but, you know, like carrot. I put carrot sticks in the refrigerator at eye level, which are pre-peeled so that I, you know, pre-peel the little baby carrots so that I can have that in front of me. Cheese, which I love, I could eat at a half pound at a sitting. There is no cheese to be found in my house except for a little container of Trader Joe's Parmesan cheese grated so that I can sprinkle a little bit on the broccoli that I will have for lunch or dinner. So anyway, that's my breakfast. Lunch is almost every day the same thing. It's always a can of tuna fish and water, which I, in the can, notice, by the way, not only is what I have low-key, but low calorie, but it is really fast to make, so it makes it convenient. I take to open the stupid can of tuna fish, drain the water so some of the salt is drained out. I throw in 1 teaspoon of mayonnaise, not low fat, because you end up having to use more of it anyway to give it moisture. So I use Best Foods because I love it. 1 teaspoon, a piece of whole wheat bread, 100% whole wheat bread, tomatoes, and I usually will steam, throw in the microwave some broccoli, throw a teaspoon of grated Parmesan cheese on it for flavor and or some garlic powder. And then for dessert, I'll have a fruit, you know, a banana or whatever is in season. Like right now, I love peaches, so peaches are in season. That's lunch, basically every day. Or I might throw a piece of chicken that's frozen. I buy chicken breasts when they're on sale. I put them, I individually wrap them in a freezer Ziploc, and then I take it, throw it in the microwave for 10 minutes, and then I, you know, throw either some of that little Parmesan cheese or garlic powder on it. That's basically what I eat. And dinner is the same thing, except I eat a big salad with romaine lettuce, you know, dark lettuce, the darker the better, with a lot of tomatoes, another teaspoon of that Parmesan cheese, because it's got a lot of flavor per calorie. And some vinegar added, so I don't have to have the calories of dressing, much as I love dressing. I love blue cheese dressing, but I won't eat it. And then about every other night, I will allow myself, about 4 or 5 nights a week, I have a glass of wine, and I will allow myself sometimes a late night. I go take a yogurt run with my frozen yogurt to Yogurt Park, my favorite place in Berkeley, with Einstein. And that is basically my diet, and I allow myself to cheat on the weekend when I go out to eat with my wife, Barbara. Wife Barbara, is there anything in that books or the books you've read or anything else you know that either contradicts, amplifies, would help me or whatever my ascetic diet? You hear the resentment in my voice. I would love to eat, but I can't. My break-even point is 1,400 calories a day. I eat more than that, I blimp out. Continue.
Well, I think anybody who listened to that is probably turning off the radio and throwing themselves out the basement window.
I hate it. Well, you eat about the same thing. You eat nothing.
No. Obviously, everything that you do is right. It's just so depressing.
It is depressing.
That I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, that's not really true.
Absolutely really true.
I just try to make myself make food my reward. My reward's got to be my interesting work, my watching movies, playing with Einstein, seeing you. When I can, and I love food. I love an Indian buffet above everything on earth, basically. All I do is think about my next meal because I'm always hungry. And yet if I ate any more, I'd blimp out.
So, it isn't a question of eating more. It's a question of how boring your diet is, and there are so many other things that you could be eating that you're not, that would make it more interesting and perhaps give you some motivation to live. Your diet would not give me motivation to live.
If I varied it, it would be things I liked. I've chosen the things I like the taste of the best that are the most filling in calories. So if I varied it, it would just be worse and take more time to prepare.
And that's fine for you.
Right.
You have tremendous discipline. But for the rest of us who are more human and don't have that kind of discipline, what I like about the two books I read, one is called If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Lose Weight? Tools to Get It Done. That book has a very heavy psychological component. What she's looking at is all the messages you send yourself. And when you think about it, she's got the chapter called Self-Care Tool Number 3, Be Good Company. And you violated that the first minute you were on the show. You said, I'm old, I'm fat, I'm ugly. And she says, would you want to be with someone who says to you all day, you're fat, you're ugly, what's wrong with you? I don't like you. You have no willpower. You're disgusting. Gosh, you're dumb. Get your act together. You're so lazy, you'll never be thin. Those kinds of messages.
It's true. I starved my whole life. I'm so fat. I am fat. I am ugly and I'm old. I can delude myself, but I am fat, old, and ugly.
You wouldn't teach your child to talk to anybody like that. And she says, there's no reason to talk about that. You have to say, well, I'm a good friend. I'm a compassionate person. I work very hard. the messages that we tell ourselves are really important. And particularly if you're overweight, there is a tendency to be down on yourself after every bite. I can't believe I'm still eating this. Right. Why am I eating so much? Blah, blah, blah. So there's no reason to beat yourself
up. How does
up.
That help, though? If I said, oh, I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful, I'm kind, I'm a good friend.
I am so beautiful and kind and wonderful that I deserve to wear nice clothes. I deserve to have people say, wow, you're looking terrific. And I'm going to do a couple of things that will help me to get to that place where I look outside as good as I really look inside. That's the if I'm so smart, why can't I lose weight approach. The other book is called The 17-Day Diet. And I think that one was more my favorite because I love his style. When I told you what she said in the first book, you said, oh, please give me a break. This book, he talks like you're sitting down having lunch with him. The guy who wrote the book, Dr. Mike Marino, is a young guy looking at his picture. He's also hot. and he's a family practitioner. So that's the way he talks to you. And he says, there's no mystery to it. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He says, if you're thinking cheeseburgers and pizza, that's not going to work. But there are so many things that you can do to lose weight. And his 17-day diet means it works in cycles of 17 days because you can do anything for 17 days. And he starts off with a real quick one where you could lose 10 to 12 pounds in 17 days, which would be a fabulous motivation, a fabulous incentive to get you going.
Okay.
You want to hear more about that?
Actually, I want to hear the psychological. You know, I actually read that book too, and the one thing that I found useful in that doesn't make me change my diet, but she says what you've got to do is just keep your hunger, your satiety, between what they call -2 and +2. If you are starved to death, you're at -10. If you are stuffed to the gills, you're at +10. When you're starved to the gills, you're going to just stuff your. You're an animal. You're going to just eat whatever you can eat. But of course, if you're +10, that's what you're going to make you gain weight. So the notion is that when you're just a little hungry, eat enough so that you're not full, but that you're not hungry anymore. So go from -2 to +2. So that was the thing that she wrote in the book that made most sense to me. And she said the way you do that is simply with one word, conscious. Stay conscious of what I call the moment of truth. It's the moment of truth I'm either deciding what I'm going to eat or the moment I'm starting to eat. Staying conscious. And I can't do it. Last night, we went out for food for Indian. And I was really good until, like, the middle of the meal. I took a small portion, very little sauce, all that stuff. And then in the middle, I was engaged in conversation, and I took a ton of stuff. So the key is staying conscious. That's what I got out of the book. Anything else out of that book before we turn to...
Well, he says the same thing.
Okay.
He has what he calls a hunger fullness meter. And he says on the hunger rating, it's just very simple, 1 to 2. Either I'm hungry, my stomach feels hollow, and I need to eat. Or 2, I'm so hungry, I could eat everything in sight. I'm absolutely starving to death.
That's a better system.
And he says, don't get there. Don't let yourself get to 2.
Exactly.
Because once you get to 2,
you're out of control.
You can't have control because your body is made to make sure that you don't die of starvation, and so your body is going to take control over your brain.
And then an object in motion tends to stay in motion. So once you're in eating mode, you keep eating. If you are not that hungry, you're not going to get rev up all of that stuff your face thing. So that is critical. Staying conscious and being not, like he said, on the 2-point scale, not getting to 2. Eating when you reach the 1-point scale, which at 1 point on a 2-point scale, that you're only moderately hungry.
And then he has a fullness meter. And he says, and that's 3 or 4. 3 is, I'm starting to feel full. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and stop now because I really don't need any more and I'll feel better and I'll pack up the rest and I'll have meal for tomorrow. And 4 is, I am so stuffed, I'm going to have to waddle over to the couch. Right. That's the after Thanksgiving feeling oh my God, I'm in food coma.
Right, exactly.
So he says you don't want to get there.
So I the way I would combine those two is it's from -2 to +2. So -0 is, neutral. minus two, you're starved to death. Minus one, you're a little hungry. Plus one, you're moderately hungry. And plus two, you're stuffed.
It doesn't matter. You don't need numbers. All you need to know is I'm a little hungry. Mm-hmm. I should probably eat a little something so I don't get to starvation because lunch isn't for an hour. Or I'm full. I really don't need any more. I'd love to have some more of this, and that's where I want to stop.
You're listening to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. The topic is not something that normally gets discussed on this show, which is centers around work, but it really is centered. This topic is related to work, and that is losing weight. Because in this unprecedentedly difficult job market, it is not only enough to be good, but it really helps if you look good. It's that it can often be a distinguishing factor. I hate it. I think I despise that the human condition is lookist, but one must accept the human condition. We are all attracted to attractiveness. And it's hard to
even babies. They've done all those studies with babies where they show them human faces, and the babies are more attracted to the good-looking face.
Good point. Here's the million-dollar question. Everybody knows cheeseburger bad, broccoli good. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that lean protein is better than bacon. You know, a lean piece of chicken that is, you know, that is baked rather than dipped in oil. Everybody knows it. Even you can say, but the question is, how do you motivate yourself to care enough to 24 every waking moment of your life? Because you can be good every moment of your waking life and bad for 5 minutes out of a 168-hour week, and you're going to gain weight. There is zero tolerance. You must basically be perfect the entire time. That requires incredible motivation. Do either of the books talk about how to get yourself motivated to want to only eat until you're somewhat full?
I think what he's talking about in the 17-day diet, and he says very astutely, part of our problem is we grew up and our parents told us to clean our plate in one way or the other. You can't leave the table until you finish your dinner. You don't get dessert until you finish your dinner. Children are starving in Europe. Eat your food. All these crazy messages that we got. And those, because they came at such an early age, are ingrained in us. So number one, we have to lose those messages consciously. There's no reason to clean my plate. In fact, it's much better if I leave it with some food. Number two, you don't have to have such boring foods. There are many low-calorie ways in which you can enliven the taste of what you're eating so that you could look forward to a meal, not a plain piece of frozen chicken breast that was thawed in a microwave, but you can use things like different kinds of spices, cayenne pepper, low-calorie salsa. There are fruits and fruit syrups that have no sugar in them. Things that will make your food taste good that makes you want to eat them. And so if you use heavy spices that have no calories and you vary your diet is terribly boring to me. And the way he does it on the 17-day diet is the first 17 days are the most limited, but there are still many choices. By the second cycle, he adds in different kinds of lean proteins, different fruits, different vegetables. And by the third time, he says you can eat anything. You just need to do it sensibly. And he says, remember, pasta is not your enemy. A mountain of pasta is your enemy, but pasta per se, of course you can have that. Of course you can have some rice. If you're going to do that, whole grain is a better choice. Brown rice is a better choice, but you can have that. And he even gives you, there's a whole section in this book on how to dine out in every ethnicity and not kill your diet. And he makes suggestions for the kinds of things you can order. This is not rocket science. And in fact, I'm very fortunate I don't have a weight problem, but I am now at my age 10 to 12 pounds thinner than I was for most of my adult life. And it is because unconsciously, without making a big deal out of it, I've adopted all these things. We've all seen that a dinner plate should be more than half filled with vegetables, with a small piece of the lean protein. And if you're having some kind of starch, that should be the smallest part of your plate. So that's how I normally eat. But everything that I eat is delicious, because otherwise, why bother? And if I'm not satisfied, that's when I'm going to eat more.
Couple of thoughts. The way, clearly, what we're trying to do, dear listeners, is present different perspectives. I'm presenting more of the problem because it's not working for me particularly, even though I know all the rules. The way I get as much pleasure in terms of getting variety by, certainly, as you said, I do put different spices. If I put that piece of chicken in the microwave, I'll put, you know, one time I will put some, you know, curry on it, next time garlic, etc. That gets me almost all of the variety I would get if I made different meals without my having the hassle of having to shop for all these different things and prepare different things that I don't know are going to work well. It's an easy, I am a pretty busy, ridiculously busy guy, and so it enables me to save time, and I feel I'm getting most of the variety. The problem is really about discipline. Like, as I said, I can be good nearly every waking moment of my week, but if I am bad for 5 minutes, it screws it up. So that, for example, you and I, when we go out to dinner and we will order an entree, you will always only eat half or maybe a third and have the rest take home. You know 100% of the time I cannot make myself stop at half. I eat the whole entree no matter how big it is. I've got this enormous appetite and I cannot make myself. How do I, you know, how do I deal with it? It's a motivation. It's not really a variety issue. It's how do I get myself to be good 100% of the time, because 99 won't work.
Well, that's where I would disagree, and I think all of the diet people would disagree. Nobody is going to be perfect 100% of the time. In the what you're suggesting, what I think, I don't remember that either one of them dealt with that exact problem, but the obvious answer is when the entree comes, you say to the server, would you please bring me a container? You cut half of the plate, you put it away, you put it down on the floor next to your legs, and you spread out what's left on your plate, and that's what you eat.
What do you say to me about it? You know, and I'm sure I'm not the only person, there are a lot of people who are straight arrows. You know, I work all the time. I am not somebody who gets any pleasure out of spending money. I am not a gambler. I'm not a drinker. The only thing that I get pleasure out of life really is eating, playing with Einstein, hanging out with you, and watching movies with you. Basically, that's about it. So what do you say to me to make, you know, like right now, after we finish this show, I am tempted to take our guest, Francine, who's here with us visiting from out of town, to Amber, which is the most fabulous Indian buffet ever and the most lovely. What do I tell myself to say I should deny myself that rare pleasure? Here I am, this guy who works. What would you say to me if you're my coach?
I would say you need to think about what else would be a great pleasure, and I would focus on the fact that Einstein is such a great love, and we're going to take Einstein to the doggy park, and he's going to have a great time, and we're going to run after him and walk around, get some good exercise and good fresh air. It also depends. Everybody has a different motivation. If your motivation is health, and I know lots of people who say, oh, well, my father died or my mother died at a young age, but they had a terrible diet, so I need to have a really good diet. So that's the motivation. And hey, we all want to live. Some people, it's looking good. I want to be able to fit into those dresses that I wore 10 years ago, or there's this dress I really want to buy, but I can't do it because I won't fit into it. So that's the motivation. Or I'm going to my high school reunion and I need to do something. So you have to find the motivation that resonates with you.
I absolutely had heard that years ago, and I signed up on a website. There's something called memotome.com. And what it will do, it will email you anytime you want, with the reminders of what you know, what you want. So what I and it's my danger times are 12 at noon and at 7 p.m. So every day at noon and at 7 p.m. I get this reminder that says you don't want to die, you want to look good.
That's cheery.
You know, you know all those you want to look good, et cetera, et cetera. And I actually, and I don't do this with enough discipline, but my dear friend Dr. Michael Edelstein says the key to remembering this is to read it out loud with expression every time, so that it actually changes the neurons in your brain. It becomes more top of mind. So that if every time that thing came in the email, I didn't just delete it because I said, oh, I know that email, but instead said, okay, you don't want to die. You want to look better. You want to run faster. You remember that. be conscious. If I just did that, maybe I would remember it more. That's my new idea that I'm hoping to try. Whether I'll do it or not, I'm not so sure.
It's a good one.
You know, I want to go to the phones. But one thing, you know, we're talking about all this esoterica. You know, something very basic. Here is, you know, as you said, diets really are much simpler than the diet industry would have you believe. I want you to tell me if you agree, based on your reading of these books. I have, it's, you know, they say, remember the old contest in 25 words or less? In 25 words or less, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about diet. The healthiest and most weight loss inducing diet is heavy veggies, moderate fruit, and a little low-fat protein, ideally from vegetable sources such as nuts and legumes. That's, is there anything that I've left out from
yes.
that? Okay.
A little bit of fat. Healthy fat.
Nuts
a little
fat.
Bit of olive oil.
Yeah, it's true.
Something that... avocados have fat, mm-hmm. but they're very good for mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. So you need to have a little bit of fat to help all the other stuff.
True. Perfect. Okay. I think this is a good time to go to the phones. You agree?
Sure.
Okay. So if you've been listening to Barbara and me, I always get it right, Barbara and me, talk about losing weight, and you have a comment or a question, either because you have struggled and are looking for some new direction, you want to comment on something we've said, you want to tell us a success story, you want to tell us stop the lookism and accept your fatness, whatever your question or your comment related to weight loss, I welcome your calling here at Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. The phone number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And before we go to the phones, there's something we're trying as an experiment here at KALW. You know and I know that big pledge drives where they stop the programming for 5 or 10 minutes and they're pitching, donate to KALW, donate to other stations, etc., is boring, you hate it, you want to change channel. So we're trying an experiment. We tried it last time, 6 months ago, and it succeeded. So 1 minute of inviting you quietly. If you like Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco, this is the time to pledge. Just go to KALW.org. And if you, if you like KALW in general and or Work with Marty Nemco, and we do have a thank you present, Barbara and I will be hosting a brunch for you on October 9th. Here at KELW, you can come and watch the show if you like on that day. And then we have brunch right here. And it's a thank you present. So if it's $150, if you pledge $150 to KELW, you can come to the brunch. And if it's two, and if it's a couple, it's $250. So it's $150 a person and $250 for a couple. Is that what you're seeing on the website, Joanne? Is that what it says on the website? Oh, okay. I am told that was incorrect. So it's $125 a person, no matter what. So just go to KALW.org, and that is the end of the pledge pitch. No more long stuff. Let's go back to the phones. No, I'll give out the phone number. If you have a question or comment about weight loss and haven't listened to our discussion, question or comment, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And now, let's go to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty and Barbara. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marty. Thanks for talking about this. I have good news for postmenopausal women. Mm-hmm. And we all know that it's much easier to gain weight at this age. I'm 57, and I am an overeater. And it really helps me emotionally, I think, just for the pure pleasure of it, mm-hmm. the pure taste.
I mean,
I'm vegetarian and I love food, and it's mm-hmm. it's for the pleasure.
Right.
So, and I still overeat, but here's what guarantees that I keep my weight really good. Okay, so I eat 3 eggs a week. Otherwise, I'm completely just plant foods. And I do get overstuffed, but here's what really helps. It's really hard to eat, to really extremely overeat if you're eating whole fresh foods that have a high water content.
Absolutely.
Because it's the water that fills you up. So when I get way overstuffed and I can't move, it's only just for a few minutes, really. And I can then I'm fine. It's not hanging over me. And so it really helps. But also, another thing that guarantees that, but that's only half.
Before we get to the second part, I really want to, you're totally right. They call them calorie-dense foods. I don't know why they call them dense. It's that they're not. It's stuff that fills you up with water. That's why salads and veggies are the most filling. Barbara, you got a comment before she goes
on. I love when they say if you eat enough broccoli, you probably expend more calories chewing it than it actually gives you.
Right.
Okay. That's my kind of food.
Okay, yeah. Now I'd like to hear your second point, please.
Okay. The other thing is the exercise part. I know a lot of people are running, they're walking like an hour or something, and they're not losing weight. But I don't know if you've talked about it, but something called interval training, and that's what a lot of the doctors are now talking about for the last few years, but the word's not really getting out. It just means that when you're exercising, you're changing pace. If you're a walker, every certain intervals, you really speed up, like maybe 30 seconds or a minute, and then at the very end of that, you really go as fast as you can, and then you go back to like walking fast but not super fast. And so you just interval. It's in intervals. And if you're a runner, what runners do it too. If they're running at their regular pace and then every certain few intervals they speed up. And so I watch my belly constantly. I'm really obsessed about it. I shouldn't be, but it's guaranteed every time. Now, also, though, they talk about...
Well, before we get to another, I want to hear, Barbara, you had a reaction.
Well, I think that what our caller said is absolutely right. However, I'm not the only person in the universe who detests exercise. I guarantee there are other people like me. And I've been like that since childhood. I have always hated exercise. And every time I've embarked on any kind of an exercise program, it's another one where I wake up in the morning thinking, I don't want to get out of bed because I'm going to have to exercise today. So I know I have to move. And the things that I do, which are so easy, they don't feel like exercise. Park at the farthest place in the parking lot and walk. Any building that you're in that has stairs, do the stairs. I watch television in a room that is a staircase away from my bedroom. So at every commercial, I run up and down the stairs, not just to do that, but to do something. There's something I need to accomplish, and I do it and come down the stairs. So I might do the stairs 6 times in a one-hour television show. Any building I'm in with stairs, always take it. So there are ways for those of us who don't want to exercise to move our bodies.
I do need to comment. We'll go back to you, my dear listener, in a minute, but I want to comment on this as well. We also,
two
of course,
factors.
Wait. Stay with me. I need to comment on this exercise thing because it's really critical. One thing, certainly adding to the exercise thing is, you know, we ritualize it. Barbara, you and I, every night, we take Einstein for a very vigorous hilly walk, which gets us good exercise, and walking is considered the best exercise. But now, two things about interval training and about exercise in general, and then we'll go back to you, my dear caller. I've been a health kind of observer of health recommendations for my entire life, and they reverse all the time, whether it would be butter and margarine, whether it's 20 minutes a day of exercise vigorous or 45 moderate. I have come to the conclusion that in the end, common sense makes the most sense. I am very knowledgeable about interval training. And in fact, in its most often recommended version, it is you wildly exercise to your absolute maximum cardio rate for 6 minutes and then you're done. Or you really go to 90% for anything extreme, I believe, is not going to be good. So I think, yes, over the last year or two, interval training and maxing out has boomed. I believe it's going to bust. I think that ultimately exercise of the level of brisk walking is ultimately going to be viewed as most salubrious, Barbara.
Well, one of the things that he talks about in the 17-day diet is really mixing it up. And that's mixing up everything. He says you want to keep surprising your body. If you do just the same kind of exercise all the time, then your body gets used to it and it doesn't work so well. And so to do intervals, I don't know that you want to be the most vigorous for 6 minutes and then stop. That doesn't sound even healthy to me.
Right.
But you do want to. Some days you want to walk, or even in your walking, to keep changing the pace a little bit, walk a little faster, walk a little slower. And he says that with everything, with your diet, with all the things that you're doing, mix them up. That's why he does it in 17-day intervals, so that your body's always surprised. Because remember, the most difficult thing about losing weight is that the human body is designed to keep you from starving to death. So as soon as you start losing weight, your body starts trying to protect you by not losing weight. And so it makes it that much more challenging.
Before we go back to the call now, one more comment about exercise, which is very critical. I have been an exerciser my whole life. I've been a runner when I was in college. I actually, with all of my school books, I used to live at home, live 2 miles from my college. I would run with my books to college. I would then have baseball practice on the baseball team. I would run 5 miles around the track, and then I would run back home. So, you know, and I've been exercising my whole life. That said, I have been shocked that 2 or 3 years ago, and I've seen again and again, that the most recent studies without, and nobody, and no, there's no countervailing studies, say that exercise has no impact on weight loss. That if you increase your exercise, you will increase your appetite proportionate to the amount of calories expended in the exercise. And worse, having exercised, you feel entitled to cheat. So it is good cardiovascularly to exercise. It's good for your muscle tone, absolutely, things like vigorous walking. But if you think that exercise is going to help you lose weight, and everybody's different, there's going to be anomalous people for whom that was a magic pill, but I would encourage you to realize that in the end, it is more about the fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and a little bit of low-fat protein, Barbara.
But remember that it doesn't matter if it helps you lose weight. It's good for you in so many other ways. So when people hear, well, exercise isn't going to help me lose weight, I think I'll sit on my tush and watch some TV.
No, I didn't say that. I said that it had its cardiovascular benefits, muscular benefits, balance
and
benefits.
And cheers you up. If you move around, you feel a little better.
Yep, temporarily. Okay, now, dear caller, thank you for your patience. You said you had one or two other points. Make them quickly because we have a lot of other calls on the line.
Okay, my interval training is really mild next to what you said. I only speed up for 30 seconds, and at the very last 5 seconds, I go really fast. So it's really pretty mild. Anyway, okay. I'm also doing weights and getting more sleep. They find that if you if you don't get enough sleep, you crave higher calorie foods. And also, they're finding that some toxic chemicals that we're getting in our diets makes it harder to lose weight. So you also want to watch out for that. But all put together, and I'm doing all of these things, and it really helps. I mean, it's for me, it's guaranteed every time. And I eat all the foods I love. I'm eating healthy fats and everything. I feel satisfied, and I'm not hungry, and I'm not doing any extreme exercise, and I'm getting good sleep, and I'm doing it all, and it really works.
I'm really glad. Thanks very much for the call. A brief comment about sleep. Sleep, not only, I had never heard that good sleep will help you lose weight, there's no question that getting at least 6 hours, 7 or 8, somewhere in there is really critical. And if you have trouble getting to sleep or staying asleep, a quick 1 minute lecture on sleep hygiene. You want to keep your room very cool. Because like a bear, you hibernate. It's the cooler you're going to, your metabolism will slow down. That is the secret. The other secret is do your exercise 2 to 3 hours before you go to sleep. Not in the morning. Do it when you get home from work, 2 to 3 hours before. Why? Because certainly right after you exercise, you're energized. But 2 to 3 hours, your metabolism then slows and you're fatigued and you're more likely to get to sleep. If you get up in the middle of the night, what I would encourage you to do is to not do what people say, go read for a while till you get tired. No, that re-stimulates you. What I encourage you to do is to meditate. You don't have to force yourself back to sleep, but stay lying there and meditate either with a mantra or a pleasant set of thoughts, which unfortunately, I tell you the truth, is my thoughts are normally, what am I going to eat tomorrow?
but that could be pleasant.
It certainly is pleasant, and the thought doesn't add in my calories. So anyway, that's enough about that. Barb, you have anything to say? Should we go back to the phones?
Back to the phones.
Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind?
Hi, am I on?
You are.
Okay, I'm 47. I'm unemployed, and in the last year, I just decided I'm going to lose the weight. I'm sick of being fat. I've been a stay-at-home mom, and I could not lose that baby weight. It's been 6 years since my youngest was born. So what I did is I just invested in a personal trainer, and that really got me going. I found him at a pretty reasonable rate of like $45 an hour.
Yeah, these days with the economy, you can get him cheaper.
Year, I've lost 14 pounds. It's a very slow rate, but I'm really happy. I'm staying positive, and I'm getting myself ready to get back into the job market. So make myself look good and try and keep myself active. I do 4 days of working out, 2 days at the trainer with weight training, and 2 days with spinning at my gym.
I love it.
And I'm just trying to watch what I eat.
You've added a lot to this discussion because that hasn't been discussed. Yes, some people are really helped either with a personal trainer or an activity partner. Somebody, if you know you're responsible, if you and your partner are going to go running or walking every day, even though exercise may not make a difference intrinsically, it makes you more health conscious. Also, Weight Watchers is incredibly valuable because it is a group. You feel responsible. You're showing up once a week. You're weighing in and you're supporting each other. And so for many people, group support is good. I'm really glad you called. Thanks very much for the call, Barbara.
Well, it reminded me, a friend of ours said last night that she goes swimming at 7:45 in the morning and does exercises in the pool. And I said, my God, what motivates you to get out of bed and go swimming at that ungodly hour? And she said, well, I go with a group, and if I don't show up, they give me so much grief that it's easier to just get up and go swimming. Mm. So, yes, any kind of peer support or pressure will help to motivate you.
I want to ask your advice. You know, the only thing, only things I have not mentioned yet that I do that help a little but don't help a lot. I'm trying to give, pardon the pun, dear, I'm trying to give you, my dear listeners, a buffet of options for how to control your weight.
Okay, there's too much thinking about our next meal going on
right
here.
But I have little mantras that I try to use. A moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. You know,
I hate that.
Because it really is one moment of pleasure and then I can't get rid of it forever. And also, because I value intelligence, I say to myself, it's stupid to eat. Only stupid people eat. It's not true, but I say only stupid people eat. What, when you are in that restaurant with me and you're at that moment of truth and you're deciding whether you should eat more of your plate or leave it half and put it in the box, what do you say to yourself? How do you make yourself literally put that other half of the entree in the box?
Well, it isn't that hard. First, I try to drink a lot of water, and I try to talk a lot. It's so much easier when I'm having a meal with someone. My problem is when I'm eating by myself. That's when there's much more temptation to clean the plate and have seconds. So I just eat slowly. Because we all know it takes 20 minutes till you feel full.
Right, good point.
So if you're shoveling it in the first 7 minutes, you've ingested a whole dinner's worth of calories, but you're still hungry.
That's my big failure.
Because it's going to be another 13 minutes till your brain realizes that you're full. And by then you're on a four, you're waddling to the couch.
Good point.
Second thing, I look at this yummy food and I say, wow, if I put this in the box now, I can have it for dinner tomorrow night. Oh, boy. And that motivates me to say, could you please bring me a doggy bag?
This is helpful. What motivates you to not, for example, get a bagel with cream cheese, but rather eat vegetables again?
I rarely think about bagels and cream cheese for dinner or
whatever,
vegetables,
you know,
for breakfast. I steam a big bowl of vegetables every night.
What makes you motivated to say, I'll have that steamed vegetable rather than au gratin?
Interesting. I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah.
And he, again, talks about it in the 17-day diet. He says that when you start eating more healthy foods and you eliminate more of the things that are bad for you, you develop a taste for it. And I know this is weird. I crave broccoli. I do. I look forward to, I do my mix of vegetables. It's broccoli, carrots, cabbage, and peas. Light on the peas. But I like that. I also cheat. I put a tablespoon of butter on it. I put salt on it. I'm fortunate. I don't have high blood pressure. I can do that. But if you look at the calories in one tablespoon of butter, it's not a lot, but it makes it delicious. So it's not a sacrifice. That's the key, and that's why he tells you all the ways to make these low-calorie foods taste so good, so it isn't a sacrifice. I don't have to talk to myself. I'm eating deliciousness, just like our caller said. She loves the things that she eats, and they're still healthy.
By the way, I just want to make sure we don't create misapprehension about anything. She said because she doesn't have high blood pressure, she can therefore add salt. Not every person with hypertension it was called salt-sensitive. That's something that you should check out with your doctor before you go on an extreme salt-restricted diet. It varies with the person. Okay, let's go to the phone. Let's take a couple more calls, give you a last comment, and then maybe we'll just move to 3-Minute Career Makeover. So welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind? Are you there? Hello, it's you.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Oh, hi. I didn't realize it was me.
It is.
I have a book to recommend that helped me.
Okay.
It's about 20 years. It's about 20 years old or so.
Mm.
But it's called Thin Within.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that.
And Judy Wardell is the author.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know how to handle a buffet, don't pick up a plate. First, walk the whole length of the buffet. Look at everything and pick out those things that really are singing to you.
Even if they have cheese sauce?
Absolutely. A calorie is a calorie is a calorie.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for that. Let's go right back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty and Barbara. What's on your mind?
But I'm sorry, before you go
back, sure.
I think there are two points to that, and we didn't let her finish. When you walk the buffet line, at least you know, you make some mental decisions in advance. So after you've piled your plate, you don't then come to that next item, and you have to have that too and throw that on. You also figure out what are you going to fill your plate with, the salads, the vegetables, whatever, and then what are the one or two things that are so yummy, as she described it, singing to you, that you will add a little bit to your plate, and then you have the perfect plate.
Yeah, I figured because we have so little time, I wanted to cut her, you know, I wanted her to make her main one point and then move on and get some other callers. Welcome to Work with Marty and Barbara. What's on your mind?
Yeah, this is Ron in San Francisco.
Hi, Ron.
I think a lot of really fine things are being said here. One thing that I haven't heard that I think is really important is something that my son, who has been acting as my personal trainer, has emphasized for me, and that is, Dad, eat lots of small meals, not not just two or three big meals.
That, you know, that's a corollary of the point where we're talking about staying, you know, not getting to the point where you're really starved before you eat, and that means lots of small meals. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. But I make them meals of food that I really enjoy.
Right.
And that's paramount, I think. You know, I mean, if it's an apple and pistachio nuts, that sort of thing, every couple of hours, whenever I'm beginning to feel like I need to eat or anything, I have those things along with me. The exercise is also paramount, and like the previous caller, I swim 6 mornings a week, and I take vigorous long walks and that sort of thing.
Yeah. As but, I said, the research is showing that for on average, that has no effect on weight loss.
You feel good.
Yeah, because you exercise more you get hungry.
Absolutely. It absolutely makes you feel good, and it's whole part of the weight loss for me.
For you? Very good. Ron, thanks very much for the call. Let's go back to
one other question.
Oh, sure.
It sounds the way you are talking. I know you're husband and wife, but it sounds the way you are talking as if you don't live together.
We're together on the weekends and we're separate during the week. Yes.
Okay.
You know, it is critical in my mind that we do not necessarily follow societal norms. We got to do what's right for yourselves. And I love working. I work very long hours. I have a very busy career counseling practice in Oakland. Barbara is an elected official in Napa, so she must live there by law. And we just, rather than face some disgusting, horrible commute to, you know, to Napa with, you know, it's just gridlock all the time on 80 now, we just spend weekends together, and once during the week we get together. So whether it be a couple or not, dear listeners, don't make your decisions based on what is the either politically correct or societally correct. It's time to be authentic to what you believe is right for yourself. Ron, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Look at all these lines lighted up. Maybe we shouldn't. We should.
Diet's a hot topic.
Yeah.
I also love the caller who said she's getting ready to get back to work, and so she's planning way ahead, knowing that, lookism is alive and well, whether we like it or not, and so she's slimming down and getting herself ready to reenter the job market.
Good point. Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hello.
This is one of your listeners who loves your program.
Thank you,
Shannon. Thank you.
I remember, of course, know your voice.
Yeah, this is a really quick haiku, but it has validity. Want to stay sane? Exercise your paring knife rather than your brain. And there's something about the joy of preparation then you don't need to eat it. You can put it away for a little while later. You've had the love of food in front of you.
It's a great point. You know, Barbara and I do enjoy, we do have very stressful lives. And last week on a Sunday after the show, what did we do? We went and we tried two different kinds of, we made two different kinds of potato salad.
I love it.
That have the greatest, you know, we didn't eat them much. Wait a minute.
Before people say you're talking about losing weight, then you made two kinds of potato salad.
We had to give them away.
This was in preparation for having to bring potato salad to an event coming up in 2 weeks. So we wanted to try two different recipes.
But Shan's point is really right, because although those were hugely calorific items, we didn't feel need to eat. We tasted just a little of it and gave it away. And it was a really relaxing, enjoyable way to spend the afternoon. Anyway, thanks for calling. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind? Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
My name's Sue, and I just wanted to give you a quick thing that works for me.
Great.
What I do is, I know it's important to eat on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and sometimes at work I get very, very busy. I have a stressful job,
right.
and so I set my cell phone to ring at 10 and 3, and if I haven't eaten at those times, then I stop what I'm doing and eat.
That's a great idea.
That's really good. And in fact, in the book that I read, every menu that he gives you as a sample always includes one or two different snacks.
Right.
I tend to not do that so much, but it's important to do, because then you never reach that starvation point.
Exactly. Thanks very much for the call. And that is why, as I said way at the beginning of the show, that's why I put a bag of peeled baby carrots at eye level in the refrigerator, so it's really easy for me to get that. It takes no time, Barbara.
One other thing we haven't talked about, and this is one I've always hated, but it really is important, the 8 glasses of water a day.
Oh, I'd be peeing constantly.
I hate it. I know. And who says I'm not? But And I don't know that I do 8, but drinking water, like the vegetables, fills you up.
Yeah.
I used to drink a lot of coffee. I would have 3 or 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day. And when I switched to trying to get the 8 glasses of water, and there's only so much liquid you could put into your body, and so the craving for coffee went away. And I have my coffee when I get up in the morning, but sometimes only half a cup. And it's a rare day that I have a second cup, but I do keep filling the water glass all day long. Not that I'm counting. I'm just thinking I put it on my desk and I keep sipping it. When it's empty, I fill it up again.
I will admit that
keeps you full.
Caffeine is my drug of choice. I'm not giving up my coffee. So let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind?
On my mind?
It is. Yes,
your mind.
You know, the study about exercise may be correct in some ways.
Studies.
Honestly, I could not have lost the weight that I just lost if I didn't start moving. It really, I think it's very misleading. You can manage what you eat, but you really do have to move. It doesn't go away.
I got to tell you, it wasn't one study. There's been a number of them in the last 5 years.
I know that, but I'm living proof that until I started.
But remember, dear listeners,
none of the weight went off.
Anecdote is not a generalizable truth. We all, like I said, every individual
is
different.
I just think it's not helpful to say that exercise does not.
Okay.
It is critical.
You know, one of the things that is perhaps most important is teaching thinking skills. And so many people will draw generalizations about what works based on an anecdote. That's why journalists are constantly telling the story of Mary Johnson did blah, 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 and then generalizing to the whole population. Good thinking skills is not generalizing from anecdote. Anyway, thank you very much for the call. Barbara, you made an interesting, you were looking at that book and you found something unusual. What did you find?
Oh my God. The 17 most fattening restaurant choices.
Oh, okay.
From the most popular chain
What would surprise me on that list?
Well, you want to take a wild guess on what is the number one most fattening item on a restaurant menu at 3,010 calories? One item.
Oh, I would guess it would be something like, filet mignon in bordelaise sauce, or, you know, macaroni and cheese, big portion, or something
cheese like fries.
Oh, cheese is the worst,
cheese
of course.
Fries. Now, of course, it says 4 cups with 8 tablespoons of ranch dressing. I don't know how many people eat 4
Jesus.
Cups of cheese fries at a time. Number 2, Bloomin' Onion. at 2,400 calories. Remember, a bloomin' onion,
that's
when
at
you
the
order
Outback.
It.
You know, right. You write that big thing.
It isn't meant for you to eat it yourself.
So
a bloomin' onion is meant for a table
right.
of 10
so
to
what
share.
What would surprise me? Those things don't surprise me. And those are huge portions. What would be a normal-sized portion that is fatter than, more fattening than I would have thought?
Beef and broccoli with rice.
You're kidding.
I always thought it had that good broccoli and I could eat it, but apparently not. Beef and broccoli with rice comes in at 1,200 calories. Now, remember again.
If you eat the grease in the bottom of the sauce.
Chinese restaurant portions tend to be large because the dish is meant to be shared. So, yeah, most of us don't eat a whole plate of beef and broccoli when it comes to the table.
We only have a minute or two left, or left, because we have to finish with something. But
a chicken burrito is 1,000 calories.
Oh, I hate it. I love burritos. Anyway, I want you to take the last minute to either reemphasize something that you think is critically important that hasn't been discussed or add something new. What's the last word, Dr. Barbara Nemco?
If you are looking for a weight loss plan that will go quickly and be pleasant as it can be, I really would recommend The 17-Day Diet. I thought it was an excellent book. I love his style of writing. He says, you know what? You know you're going to have to give up all the pizza and the cheeseburgers. And then not only to lose weight, he says, if I could tell every person in America to give those up, I would. And then we could go back to the important stuff like figuring out the cure for the common cold and filling out insurance forms. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science. It's doable. And it's doable in a way that's not so unpleasant.
I guess I take it back. I'm not going to give you the last word. I'm going to get the last word. You know, it's all in the end, really, it comes down to motivation. It is what will motivate you to stay conscious, to do all the things you know you should do, not wait until you're starving before you eat, but eat little bits of carrots and crap like that when you're a little hungry. And I think it comes down to the following. It comes down to both a psychological and a behavioral thing. The psychological is this. Ask yourself, are you a good enough person to deserve to live, to be cute, to be able to be more respected at work? Do you not feel worthy enough? And maybe you don't feel worthy because maybe you've not been such a good person. Maybe the precursor to all of it is be a little better person so you can be worthy of the self-love. And then finally, to indeed try to stay conscious at what I call the moment of truth. When you're deciding what to prepare to eat or whether to go out or eat in or whether you're starting to eat, stay conscious of every bite. It doesn't need to take away your pleasure. Savor and chew slowly. Enjoy each bite and realize that each extra bite beyond when you were already not hungry is more fatness and non-self-loving. That's my last word. Barbara, you want to say one thing? We've got just a second here. Really.
Yes. If your motivation is you want to be cute, think, I'll be cute, I'll be sexier, I might meet somebody, I might have more sex, and sex will burn more calories. So it's a perfect solution.
Or this is a career show, so get a job. All right. Now, I know you like that we don't have a big, long pledge breaks here. I have to just say that if you like work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco and you like KALW, we live only with your support. You'd go to KALW.org and make your pledge. And if you pledge $125 and would like to come to, you know, you don't have to, but if you'd like to come to brunch with Barbara and me on October 9th, you can come to the studio, watch the show, and then have brunch with Barbara and me. It is totally fun, totally great. Just go to KALW.org. It's $125 a person, and that's the end of the pledge drive. So anyway, that is Work with Marty Nemco for this week. I want to thank my border operator, Joanne Marr, of course, Barbara, and all of you for listening and calling in. Next Sunday, no guests. It's just me with my latest ideas on landing a job, figuring out what you want to be when you grow up, being successful on the job, becoming successfully self-employed, and of course, 3-minute career call in 3 minutes, or maybe not. I guess not. That's what you're going to get. So until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemco for Barbara Nemco, reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.